Good morning to all of you out there in this world on this gorgeous, sunny Sunday morning, the second Sunday of Pentecost. We hope that you are well and staying safe. Join me in the call to worship. Jesus Christ summons us to answer God's call of mercy. Christ gathers us and gives us power to be healed and to heal, to be forgiven and to forgive, to be freed from sin and set others free, to tell one another in the world, God's presence is at hand. Let us worship God. Join me in prayer, please. God of wonder, you appeared to Abraham as three persons. You reveal your fullness in the Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit fills your people with hope through the peacemaking cross of Jesus. Gather us as Christ's faithful disciples and empower us with his good news. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Let us pray. God of wonder, you appeared to Abraham as three persons. The mystery of God brings the promise of life, but we doubt the Spirit's power to overcome death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son, reveals that nothing is impossible with God. Let us confess our sin and receive new life. Triune God, Holy Three, Holy One, we confess we do not know how to look for you. We do not sense your nearness, and if there are angels among us, we are unaware. We do not show the hospitality to strangers that Abraham showed to you. We do not trust that our hardships can be transformed by your Spirit. O Covenant Keeper, forgive us. Let us laugh with joy because your grace has made peace among us. Send us out with this good news so that others will also receive your blessing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ gave his life to save us from the wrath of God. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, we ask the Lord to send us out as laborers for the harvest. Let us offer, through mail or otherwise, the gifts of our lives of the Lord." Let us pray. Lord of all creation, we offer with thanksgiving what is not ours, but what we have received from you. Bless these gifts for the sake of our sisters and brothers in this world. Let your word of abundant life go out into all the lands, bringing food and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Testament reading this morning is from Genesis 18, 1 through 15, and then 21, 1 through 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my lord. Do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 sheaves of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf, and gave it to a servant and hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was well past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "Ha! After I am worn out and my Lord is old, now I will have this pleasure." Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And then 21 verses 1 through 7 in Genesis. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he said he would be, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave him the name Isaac, which means laughter. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him. As God commanded him, Abraham was 100 years old. His son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sometimes I'm almost through the ground.
Our New Testament scripture this morning is from the Epistle, Romans 5, 1 through 8. I use the New International Version as I read. Therefore, since you have been justified through faith, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character develops hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The title of my message this morning is Justified, Justification. In our modern day lives, the word justify is used in different ways. In legal settings, it means the opposite of condemn, a sound reason for having taken an action. As we sit at our computers, we are concerned that our documents are justified. They are lined up accurately on both sides, and our text is spaced appropriately. Justify is also a theological term that means to make one righteous and free from blame or guilt for sin through God's forgiveness. Justification can be an ominous word. Sometimes it is threatening. It can be gloomy, pompous, self-important, haughty, or grave. We can find many justifications for our actions. In the past several weeks, we have heard justifications by protesters, police, and military, our national leaders, and so many more, and in almost every way that we can imagine. In today's message, I am looking at justify and justification in two different ways: the legal sense that I mentioned earlier, a reason for having taken action, and the theological sense, the way to make one righteous and free from blame or guilt from sin through forgiveness. We heard about justification from Paul in his epistle to the Romans. Paul didn't establish the church in Rome and hasn't actually been there. He is writing a letter before he sets out on his journey to meet them in Rome. He wants to tell the Jews and Gentiles ahead of his arrival about what it means to be a Christian, about the power and forgiveness of God, how we are justified by faith in Christ. The Romans are fighting over who has access to God, and to convince the other they have the truth. Some think that careful obedience to the law of Moses is the key. Others think that civic virtue is the way. Of course, the Romans know a lot about power because they are in power and in supreme control at this time in their land. And Paul isn't exactly a superstar, because the Romans know of his history as somewhat of an authoritarian himself. By now, though, Paul has had his conversion and is living the Christ-like life, but also he has suffered for it. He isn't speaking as if he is privileged in some ivory tower. He knows suffering. He writes in 2 Corinthians, "Five times I received beatings with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea." in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night. Not exactly the life we imagine for a man of God, is it? He is a perfect example of a man suffering for his faith, yet he never complains. Instead, he speaks louder and more emphatically. As David Bartlett says, Paul isn't just interested in getting right with God. He is obsessed with getting his life in order and the life of others as well, right with God. Think about someone you know, perhaps your child, one of our college students, or a relative who is absolutely determined, even overwrought, to be the best doctor, lawyer, musician, teacher, or other professional ever. That's how determined Paul is to get it right with God. It is all about what God does for him and for us. Again, in the words of Bartlett, Paul is knocked off his high horse as he realizes nothing he can do will make him good enough in the eyes of God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul uses that word again, justified, justification through Christ. Earlier in the Old Testament scripture, I read a story of Abraham and Sarah who have longed for a son, the son that was promised to Abraham by God. Paul invokes the faith of Abraham as an example for us. But we also know that, even though chosen by God to lead Israel, Abraham is not perfect. We remember that this couple is so obsessed with having this son that he comes up with a scheme to have the son by another wife. He felt justified in his actions since he was 100 years old and Sarah was not far behind in age. So Sarah laughed as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Will I really have a child, she asked. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year with Sarah, and when Sarah will have a son. Sure enough, Sarah bore a son. When she did, she and Abraham were amazed. They could not stop laughing. They knew the entire community was out there laughing with and probably about them in disbelief. So they named that son Isaac, which means laughter. Were Abraham and Sarah justified in their doubtful laughter? That's not for us to judge. The bottom line is a son was born to Sarah. But notice that this came in God's time, not Abraham and Sarah's time. Hope is another message that Paul shares with the Romans. We often think of hope as wishful thinking. I hope it won't rain, or today maybe I hope it will rain. I hope I win the lottery. I hope my team wins the Super Bowl. But Paul's concept of hope in Romans is different. He introduces hope in the story of Abraham's faith. For Paul, hope isn't wishful thinking, but absolute certainty about the future because it is grounded in God's faithfulness to keep his promise. That is what God will do for the believer. God has done for us. Our stories today are not so different. When children get into spats and parents intervene, the first thing we hear is, he hit me. And then, yes, but she hit me first. And then there's justification for one more slap and to continue the quarreling. If we are honest, with ourselves, we all try to justify our wants and behaviors at times. Recently, I received a very enticing letter from the local Toyota dealer, making me an offer that seemed too good to pass up. I could drive out of the dealership with a brand new RAV4 with no down payment and a no-interest loan. How could I pass that up? I depend on the dealer and my mechanics. I know nothing about cars, and so I depend on them to make sure I am safe. How safe would I be in a brand new car? I began to justify why buying this new Toyota is a great and right idea. My current RAV4 is recently out of warranty, and you know, how would I know when it needs help? Soon it will need new tires. It has a small dent on the back fender and a few scratches on the side. Bingo! I was justified in trading my red-hot boho RAV, which is what I call her, for a new and under-warranty Toyota RAV that I could give a new name. Thinking of it this way, just if I sign on the dotted line on the road, my life will be safe and rosy. Fortunately, Robert, I have by my side. He screeches on my brakes, reminds me that Red Hot Boho Wrap has only 33,000 miles on it, and convinces me that I was about to be taken for a ride that I just may regret. Of course I'm not alone. We can all think of behavior that we have or something we want that we can justify purchasing rather than contributing the money or time to a local food program or a children's treatment center, something our community really needs. We hear on the news of parents who pay universities huge sums of money so their children can attend prestigious schools. We look with suspicion and mistrust at people who look different from us and believe differently from us. We know but overlook the inequities in health coverage for the marginalized neighbors. Just if only they will get their acts together, they will have what we have. But for the past several weeks, we have been reminded up close and personally about the truth. As most of us have watched on television, the demonstrations of pain, anguish, anger, and grief in our streets, all around our nation, sparked by the murder of a black man by police officers in the wake of other killings by law enforcement officers who think, just if I stop this person, safety and justice will prevail. And we've had some since then. Some of you have participated in the rallies here in Nacogdoches organized by students, churches, and community organizations. The post-traumatic stress felt by our brothers and sisters of color over the past 400 years of racism has resurfaced right in our streets and living rooms. If we are honest, we know we play a part in this injustice. Every day, are we so different from the Romans to whom Paul is speaking? They fight over whether or not they have to follow ancient law, even though God has promised redemption through the death of the Son, Jesus Christ. We still argue who is entitled to what, despite knowing that God, who does not discriminate, has made the same promise of grace to all of us. And there is enough to go around if we have faith to share. It is painful to hear the research that shows that 4- and 5-year-old black children are sensitive to and have been discriminated against. Today we give thanks to God and feel some relief that the riots and fires in our nation have quelled for now, at least for now. As we endure more weeks of lives drastically changed by a pandemic, and the hope that lives will be changed through the voices of those strong enough to speak up by admitting that we are not treating all of God's children, whether red, white, red, yellow, black, or white, as if they are precious in His sight. We are hearing voices of hope, but we can't stop now. Imagine the fear of 6-year-old Simone Barti, a black girl who looked up at an officer and asked, "Are you going to kill me?" Then with relief, she heard the officer reply, "No, I will not hurt you. I want to be safe too. I want to go home to my own daughter tonight." And from an elderly woman standing alone in the city streets during protests, we first hear fear when a police officer approaches her. She is frightened that she will be harmed, even killed. But she reports that as the officer approached her, he looked her in the eye, saying, "I'm giving you a citation of dehydration. Please take this bottle of water." As our friend and local pastor Kyle Childress wrote in our local newspaper recently, we still have a chance to be human. Then he quotes Martin Luther King, Jr., who said, "Cowardice asks, is it safe? Expediency asks, is it politic? Vanity asks, is it popular? But conscience asks, is it right?" There are times when we must take positions that are neither safe nor politic nor popular because in our collective conscience, they are right. Changes are coming, some rapidly, some more slowly. Congress, city councils, and lawmakers are already proposing changes in our laws. The question remains, are our attitudes changing also? These voices and actions of change, and what Paul is talking about when he says that we can boast in our suffering, because through suffering comes hope, and through hope comes change. The beauty and hope in God's grace comes from knowing that none of us will ever get it right aside from God's wisdom and help. We cannot justify the past. Our lives are shaped by the gift we never achieve but can only receive. It is God who forgives and justifies us again and again so that we can move forward with changed hearts and minds to love and care for one another. Just imagine the bounty of food, health care, excellent education, affordable housing, and other essential resources that can be available to all just if I, there's that word again, or just if we, our Westminster Presbyterian Church family, our East Texas community, our nation, and our world see through a lens of equality, sufficiency and gratitude for God's love and justification. As Gregory Boyle says, "I suspect that were kinship our goal, all would no longer be promoting justice. We would be celebrating it." Amen. Now join me as we profess what we believe using the ecumenical version of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we do not know how to pray as we ought to. Help us in our weakness, intercede for us in our feelings of grief, outrage, and fear that weigh heavy on our hearts. For we have borne witness to horrific brutality, and we cannot look away. Spirit, transform these feelings into energy and passion and love in action. Give us courage to examine how we have yielded to unjust systems. Help us repent and change our ways. Please, Holy Jesus, you who died a cruel and unjust death yourself, remind us that your answer to despair is resurrection, that with you all things are possible, that you will always be present to call out injustice, strengthen the faint-hearted, heal the sick, comfort those who mourn, and bless the peacemakers. Kindle in us the fire of willingness to do our part. We ask your blessing, God, on peaceful protesters. Protect them from illness and violence. Be present, God, with our police officers in this difficult time, that they may serve and protect their communities with humanity, integrity, professionalism, and courage. We pray, Lord, for those affected by COVID-19 and other illnesses, for those who mourn loved ones, for the medical professionals and scientists who work tirelessly to heal and develop cures, for the unemployed and financially distressed, and for all leaders in our land and throughout the world to seek peace. We pray especially this morning that you will be with our pastor, Howard Reed, that he will travel safely, enjoy his family with his new cherub Eleanor, and return safely as well. And be with Billy Kitchens, who has had an accident, and be with all who are listed on our prayer list. Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, work through this moment, work through our lives, our communities, our congregations, work through our pain and anger, our longing and our hope. Transform this world you loved so much and bring action that trusts and honors you. As now we lift up to you the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. go in faith, trusting God's sense of direction. Remember how much God loves this world, and so love the world in the name of Christ, that your generosity and testimony become the good news someone else has been waiting to receive. As you go out and come in, may God keep you by sunlight and moonlight. May Christ encompass you with love. And may the Holy Spirit empower you with new life now and forever.